Chapter 13. The Addict. He lay on a bed in a small room. Barely any light, it was all shadows and fog there. He looked at the shape of his surroundings. Narrow, odd angles, smell of sawdust and stale piss. He lay on his back, sniffing loudly sometimes. There were noises somewhere, sounds of wood knocking wood, laughter, singing. He rubbed his eyes and then crossed his hands over his forehead, thinking.
What the fuck?
He exhaled. He scratched at an itch by his temple with the back of his hand. It felt wrong. He sat up, waited for the dizzy spell to pass, and massaged at the back of each hand with the thumb of the other. The diamonds were gone.
What the fuck?
He looked around the room again. It was just as hidden as before, but now he could see a bar of light to his left along the floor. He surmised it was the bottom of a door. He stared at this, blinking constantly. Several moments went by as he tried to understand what had happened. He'd been somewhere. No, he was supposed to be somewhere. He was supposed to be doing something, something important.
No, that's not right, is it?
He felt along his person and discovered he wore clothing, something rough and frayed upon his chest and back, then trousers, crotch frozen stiff with dried urine, scratching. He moved his feet around and discovered they were clad in leather. For a moment, he thought he must be imprisoned in some kind of holding cell, but this impression did not last. If there was one sound in the whole miserable world he recognized, it was that of a public house. He'd wound up in one again at some point.
Best find out where this is, he thought.
He sniffed his nose clear and growled his throat open, felt to the left edge of the bed, and found a solid wall, surface worn so smooth it might as well have been greased. Then he felt to the right and found the same. He was annoyed. How had he come to be inserted into a closet? He'd become used to much finer... But no. The thought faded so quickly he forgot he'd had it. The room suddenly felt as right to him as a soft leather glove. He scooted forward to the foot of the bed, muttering.
Maybe a drink. Got a drink in me and find out where I am.
He expected to be dizzy when he stood, but he wasn't. That was odd. He thought he should have been dizzy. He felt muddy between the ears, sure, but when he stood up, he stayed standing up. No need to sit back down on the bed. Just upright and the world stood still. He blew softly through his lips, walked to the door, and felt around. His hand encountered something familiar, a thing he'd felt in 100 different places at 100 different times. Simple drop latch and pin lock, and the pin lock hadn't even been set. He groaned, lifted the latch, and opened the door. The outside sounds were immediately loud. They hit him in the face like a hot wind, and he turned his eyes away from the brightness of the oil lamps outside. Squinting and panting, he whimpered, It was a hallway lined in old timber. He looked at the black soot stains above the lamps. Somewhere below, he heard laughter and breaking crockery.
This doesn't sound like my kind of place, he said.
He sniffed again, spat into the corner of the bedroom, and exited. He began to notice other sensations as he descended the stairs. He felt a purse under his shirt brushing against his belly. He paused a moment, took it in his hand, and squeezed. Empty. As empty as a husband's scrotum, he once would have thought, did think. Thought it now. He was feeling better. He could see the blistering light of the common room below. It was calling to him. He didn't have any money, as it happened, but that was no concern. A prick sucked in the back alley was always good for a few bits. That would get him a tankard of the old sorts. It would be a start. He found the common room full of life. He stood there watching them, huddled around tables, leaned up against the board. Back in the corner, a group of men threw bones. Serving maids bustled between tables, avoiding grasping hands. They reminded him of his mother, and he looked away.
Oi! Oi, yeah, you! You just don't even look at that fucking door!
It was a round, sweaty man behind the bar. He was jowly, had squinty pig's eyes and only one ear. He held out his arm, last two fingers pinching a rag as the thumb and first two pinched at the air, beckoning.
That's right, Nixie. Step lively this way like a ghoul, son. Don't make me fetch the boys, eh?
As if conjured by the barkeep's words, two rather large and very unfriendly men made themselves quite visible at either end of the room. Nix stood still, blinking. He thought he recognized these men, but couldn't dredge a name to save his life. He figured he must have been drunk during introductions. The two men conjured by the barkeep were moving, though, positioning between him and the door. He knew he wasn't getting out of there without an interview. He smacked his lips and approached the bar. When the barkeep saw him coming, he nodded to himself and put the rag down on the board, pushed it around a bit out of habit. He whispered a few words to some men who stood nearby, and they left. Nix occupied the space they created, but said nothing. He guessed there must be some bill that was due, but had no intention of asking.
Come in late this morning, ain't ya?
Sure. He hoped it was so. Before Nix understood what was happening, the barkeep's hand licked out like a whip, snatched up his collar, and yanked him down so his head bounced off the board. There was a flash from somewhere, and the room went quiet a moment. He realized his legs had given out, but it made no difference. That meaty bear paw of a hand was still wrapped up in his shirt. The eye that had smacked into the wood was beginning to sting, and Nix didn't know if that was from spilled spirits or blood.
Next time you miss your rent, that's your ass out on the cobbles, you fucking thief, the barkeep bellowed.
Nix heard a few snickers from nearby, but they were soon eclipsed by a red, angry face lowering into view. He came so close, Nix could smell the grease oozing from his face.
A certain someone came by earlier, he whispered. A certain mutual someone? You missed your appointment, Nixie. What are you up to, my son? Trying to get your old pal Kitzold gutted?
What? I don't know what...
The hand at his throat twisted, choking him.
Shut your cunt, lad. I dislike being second said. Here now, another thing I dislike is when I vouch a lad to such as Jorge the caretaker, eh? And the lad ain't have the common fucking decency to show for his mean. Makes a man look an asshole, eh? You understand, Nixie? You must.
The hand loosened by a fraction, and Nix gasped.
Say you do. Say you understand.
Yes.
Oh, your breath smells of shit, Nixie. You been eating shit again?
Nix shut his mouth and shook his head as well as he could. The barkeep's hand loosened, then pulled away. Nix stood back up, massaging gently at his neck, and saw the man was back to rubbing at the board with his rag. His face was calm. It was as if their discussion had been all business, calculated like a game. The barkeep pointed at the door with his glistening chins and said,
There's a man out front waiting for you. Best go to your mean now, me son. See you get there, nod your head like a good lad, do whatever they tell you to do, steal whatever they tell you to steal, and if necessary, he leaned in close to whisper again, kill whoso fucking ever they tell you to kill, and you might, I say might, live long enough to repay your debt to me. And I swear on the name of me mum, lad, you fuck this up. Your soul won't be worth a lick of the shit you've been eating. There'll be nothing as to keep me from you. I'll follow you all the way to hell, me son. Whatever torments await you in the beyond shall have to wait whilst I carve satisfaction from your fucking hide.
Then the barkeep was gone. He strolled along to the end of the board where a group of men stood drinking. One of them stole a glance at Nix, muttered something, and they all laughed. Once again, Nix thought of fleeing north. The thought terrified him nearly as much as the thought of missing his meeting with the caretaker. Jorge was not a man who stood disappointment easily. Nix took a moment to straighten his shirt, carefully ignoring the other patrons who all carefully ignored him, and then, with as much dignity as a broken drunk could muster, walked across the room. Some of the others stopped mid-conversation to watch him go. They seemed amazed. Nix wondered why. He wondered if it was because he was able to walk with his head held high. They needn't have been impressed. It was an easy enough thing to do after all sense of shame and pride had departed. He didn't even remember what they felt like, shame and pride. He opened the door. Beyond it, the night waited. When he stepped through the doorway, the evening darkness consumed him, as if a sack had been pulled over his head. Then he was falling. He threw out his arms to grab something, anything, perhaps the wall of the building he'd recently occupied. His hand encountered something smooth, solid and round, so cold it burned his palm. It seemed stationary, but he was certain he still fell. Soon his vision began to resolve. He was looking down a tunnel that wished not to be seen. Its walls were indefinite, intangible. They seemed to pulsate in time with his ragged gasps. Far, far away, just beyond the tunnel exit, he saw a blue light. He reached for it, began to drift toward it, was falling. He was falling toward the light. Tumbling end over end, clawing at walls he could not feel, he fell toward the light, screaming. The glass under his hands was of a kind he'd never encountered. Perfectly smooth, perfectly round, without blemish or ripple. His forehead rested against the surface, and the blue light that burned coldly from within was enough to shine through his closed eyes. He realized his eyes were closed suddenly. When had he done that? He had just been somewhere. He was supposed to be going somewhere. He had a meeting with someone very important. He opened his eyes and stared into his own face. For the space of a few breaths, he did nothing, only looked upon his own features. His own body suspended in some sort of liquid. He didn't think it was water. It looked too thick. He was naked for no reason at all, his body bound in writhing, sucking creatures as white and pure as fresh pus. From somewhere he heard a voice say, "Come back, Udo," which was strange. It was not a name he recognized. He moved his hands over the glass, prodding until he found the edges. Until he found the metal into which the glass buried. It was impenetrable. He worked his fingers all along the surface, probing faster and faster. His hands trembled, and he cursed them. His hands always trembled, the miserable fucking things, and just once he needed them so badly. They would not comply. He snarled and battered them against the glass. Inside the tank, his body did not so much as move. He might as well have been beating a tree.
"Please,"
he wheezed. "Udo, you must come back. This isn't you." Hands on his shoulders, pulling. He convulsed, twisting wildly to shake his attacker and spun away. Continued to spin. He realized he'd never stopped falling. That feeling had always been with him. But now he was truly falling. All of the darkened, hidden world turned around him as he spun away, slowly twisting, drifting. A hand clamped around his ankle. He looked toward it. Was he looking down, up, sideways? And saw a black demon with a man's face staring back at him. It seemed concerned for him, which was somehow more horrifying than if it had been a slavering beast. He felt as though the human face was a mask the creature wore to fool him, and that hand still clamped around his ankle. He turned his face away, looked into the darkness, and saw he dangled by his leg above a vast cavern. The creature was preparing to cast him out into the void. He fought harder, bucking his spine, kicking out, swinging, screaming, doing whatever he could to escape. Perhaps he would fall into the void anyway. That was all right. Any fate would have been all right so long as it saw him freed of that demon. He felt himself yanked in a new direction. He was turning, tumbling. The void spun around him, back pressed into something jagged and immovable. Then the demon put its masked face up to his and hissed something evil. He shut his eyes.
Udo, you must come back now. You are still here. Come back.
Please,
he whimpered.
No, no, de Vergas.
It's Geffen, Udo.
Had he heard that? He thought he had, yet his ears did not feel as though they'd heard sound.
Look at me. Open your eyes right now and look at me.
He did. He was met with a stranger's face, shrouded beneath a transparent membrane, near expressionless except for peaked eyebrows and worried eyes.
Udo, it said, you're here. Remember? Why do you call me that? He panted. My name is...
Yes?
It's Udo. Your name is Udo.
His hands trembled even worse. He looked at them, commanded them to settle as frantically as he commanded himself to remember his own name. But he could not. The harder he strained, the more he could not remember. The harder he strained, the more his own body refused to obey.
Look at me, Udo. Look at me right here. The creature that held him pointed into its own eyes with two black fingers. Geffen, remember? Geffen, Udo and Geffen.
Geff,
he sighed. His vision darkened again. The world around him faded. The creature that held him, Geffen, faded away so that he could see only the face floating somewhere out in the shadows.
Geffen.
The thing's face blackened momentarily so that he thought it had disappeared, but he still felt the hands that held him. Then there was a flash along the membrane that covered its face, a slick of whiteness within the void, and then the creature wore a new face. A new face staring back at him, ugly and misshapen, bulbous, battered mass of flesh for a nose, pitted crikey teeth, pocked face. Cunning dark slits where the eyes should have been. A strange, familiar, foreign, comfortable face.
Udo, it said, it's you.
He lifted his hand and touched it, fingers alighting gently over the surface of the forehead, thumb upon the cheek. Hand still shaking, and the world around them shaking in sympathy. Violently shaking, as if all the gods of the worlds had grabbed him on either side and pulled. And his body gave way, and his mind gave way. And he split open.